Welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
The official podcast of gmanreviews.com. You can find us on iTunes as well as the website, and you can use RSS feed. Please give us reviews.
No, don't.
They're bad reviews. We'd prefer bad reviews.
We'll read them.
A high star rating, but a bad review.
And we'll read them. They're hilarious. Alright, so this week what we're going to go through is we're going to go through what we watched this week as usual. Then we're going to go through our top 5 films about fathers.
Isn't Father's Day gone?
Well, I mean, it's a tie-in with World's Greatest Dad, which is what we're going to be reviewing later after the news and the trailers.
Did you actually plan ahead?
What are we reviewing today?
World's Greatest Dad.
Oh.
Okay.
Alright, it sounds like Douglas won't be in that conversation. Let's start with what we've been watching. Douglas, why don't you start out?
Wait, what?
Douglas, why don't you start out?
I got an email today. Did it say what we're watching?
Douglas, what did you watch this week?
Okay, so this week, I guess I can kind of steal this from Andrew. Last night, I watched with Andrew Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah, I know. Thumbs up. It's actually a movie that was on my list of shame. And it still is on my list of shame.
Woohoo! Douglas got through list of shame. Starting to get through.
I have watched it. I really didn't like it that much. Warren Beatty's performance, almost as usual, was great. But it was all of the things that I don't like about a lot of old movies
are present in here.
You know, like, okay. They're all movies that I can forgive for certain things because one thing is bad in this and one thing, everything just came together in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, the cacophony of suck.
Exactly. There was absolutely no backstory whatsoever. It was like, oh, hello, I'm Clyde, I'm Bonnie, let's shoot shit up. Awesome. That's how the movie started. So there's no sort of backstory. There's no real progression in terms of the characters. They're just like, oh, let's shoot shit up until we die. You know, that's it. They tried to show this relationship between Beatty and Faye Dunaway, but really, they did a piss poor job of it. They had everything, all of the conversations, or especially the conversations, the first part of the movie, those really pissed me off. They felt very forced. Yeah. And they were all very quick. It was like, hello, my name is, yes, my name is, okay, let's go and get to the point of the movie, as opposed to actually, you know,
explaining
what's going on. And just that mixed with almost the way that it was filmed, the quick nature of the movement of the camera, it almost felt like they had actually filmed a movie where they were having a long conversation that made sense, and then they were like, you know what? I'm just going to cut it up. So that really pissed me off. Funny thing, though, I was surprised when I saw Gene Hackman. I totally didn't know he was in that movie. Otherwise, what have I been watching? Did I say last week I finished watching The Big Bang Theory?
You were watching it.
Yeah, so I finished watching the first 2 seasons of The Big Bang Theory. And though I don't think it's a great show, I think it's fun to watch. It's okay. And I really am in love with one of the characters.
So it's more a guilty pleasure type show than...
Really
good and everyone should see.
Exactly, one of those type of things. I really like this character, what's his name? Sheldon. I don't know if I should say he's best known, but I best know him from... He had a very small role in Zach Braff's really good movie, the only one, Garden State.
Garden State.
He was the knight that was banging Peter Sarsgaard's mom.
Oh, okay. But didn't Zach Braff do another movie?
Yeah, I said the only good one.
I think that movie's the only one he directed, right?
I believe so. Oh, yes.
Okay.
But he did. He acted in There's the Last Kiss.
Right. The Last Kiss.
I actually liked that movie.
I didn't like that movie.
I enjoyed that movie.
And then there was The X, which actually I think is a bit less than average. But I wouldn't say that I didn't. Right.
The movie wasn't that good.
Yeah, I knew there was another one with Jason.
Yeah, Jason Bateman. Yeah. Bateman, right.
He was in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Wasn't that fan of that movie.
Me either. But to tell you the truth, I think I could watch that one before I watch the other one. Yeah, and he's really funny in that show. He's a good straight man.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on, just before you go, I want to pull back for a second to Bonnie and Clyde. Just to, one little comment I want to say. I'm with you.
Yeah.
As I said, completely unimpressed. I don't know what, why people love this movie so much. However, I found things in this film which reminded me a lot of Public Enemies, which I love. Right?
Or Public Enemies, which I hate. Whichever one, you know, however you want to look at it.
For everyone who's ready to come and kill me, because you can see the 5 out of 10 review on my site, I'm revamping that review because I saw it again. And that movie's
stop,
awesome.
Stop. You can't revamp what has not yet been vamped. So you are vamping the review.
Alright, I'm vamping.
Oh, so that's not what vamp means, but keep going.
That movie's awesome. And one thing that I really loved in that movie was the end when Bonnie and Clyde get shot up. That scene was just was amazing to watch.
So you like seeing women get shot?
Yes. Moving on.
What else was I watching? Not too much.
No movies?
I've seen, you know, the shows, the weekly shows. I watched some of those. I want to watch Sin Number, but I didn't.
Me too, actually.
Yeah. I watched Bruno. It was, as expected, it wasn't that good. And I was sad for that. There were some very funny moments. There were some very okay moments. But overall, it's just bunch of pieces.
Wasn't Bruno your favorite Ali G character?
No, my favorite Ali G character actually was Ali G. My second, Bruno has always been for me the my least favorite and the least strong one.
Right.
So it wasn't a surprise that it wasn't that great. Also, something just told me that he couldn't follow up on the big success. Even though I actually did. I shouldn't say really like, but I enjoyed the Ali G movie. A lot of people did not,
and it wasn't that big a success. I understand where people didn't like the Ali G movies.
Yeah. Well, there's only one movie. There's a lot of DVDs that
but
he does.
I really love that movie. I just couldn't. Because I saw it
which
before.
Movie?
Ali G movie.
In the house.
I saw it before the Ali G show on HBO.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't believe that there was. Someone created this character. Right. And was that willing to stay in character and do all these things. And he was just... I mean, it's not a great movie.
Exactly.
Like, critically, there's no way to argue that the movie is great. But I do love that movie.
I love watching it, yeah. I would I'd definitely buy that if it was, like, for $5. Seriously. But I'm even... Before that, I was watching Ali G. From when he was doing his DVDs, he had a couple named I and Bling Bling, I think, was another one. And he had his show on Channel 4. And I used to love that guy so much. I still do.
I have a comment about Ali G.
Yeah. Shut up. You love Borat, so...
Yeah, no, I'll give you Borat. And what I've seen out of Bruno so far...
Yeah.
Kind of middling.
He was really... I think him... Sacha Baron Cohen. I think he's a genius. I think he is...
There's something wrong with him I'm so glad that it's wrong.
Exactly. I think even though he faltered with Bruno, that is kind of the proof that he is great, because he's willing to go beyond funny. He's willing to put it all out there and get it wrong, so that maybe next time he'll get it right.
Right.
You know? So even though I didn't really like Bruno, I'm still happy because he's still able to get into movies. Like, for example, you know, he was in Ricky Bobby a few years ago, and he was fantastic in that. He's going to be in a couple of new movies now.
He was in Sweeney Todd.
He was in Sweeney Todd and was amazing. But he has a few on the horizon, too, I think. I think there's like a Spielberg thing. I don't think Spielberg is in it anymore.
That's also a movie that he's supposedly coming in.
Yeah, so hopefully he might even make a new character and do something, or he might do some sort of...
Ali G.
He says Ali G is dead.
I don't think he can start over, because from how hard would it be for him to keep all of this under wraps with how information is fitting?
Well, no. When I said start a new character, I didn't mean like that. I meant like maybe he can actually go into more
scripted stuff.
Not just scripted. Scripted, but like, you know, a regular movie
Okay.
where it's not him going around to rail people. Or maybe he could morph what he is doing now into something that could work, and where he doesn't need to hide who he is, or it doesn't matter, or whatever. So I don't know. I just think that he's really funny, and he'll figure out a way to make me laugh again one day.
All right.
And I think that's about all that I've really watched recently.
Okay.
I'm Damien.
This week, I saw a couple of good movies that I've been wanting to see for a while now. I saw The Boat That Rocked.
It's not called that anymore, by the way.
What's it called?
Pirate Ship or something like that.
Yeah, they changed the name to Pirate Radio.
Pirate Radio.
I don't care. The Boat That Rocked. This movie is... if you saw the trailer, it is exactly what is in the trailer. So if you enjoyed that trailer, you really enjoy this movie. The acting is great. First, let me tell you what the movie is about for the four people that don't know.
Actually, I'm sure a lot of people don't know about this movie.
So there is... it's set in the 60s. I'd like to say the 60s. And there is one radio station in England or Great Britain or whatever they're calling themselves now that broadcasted rock or pop music. And it was this pirate radio. They were out in the sea broadcasting their radio station because they couldn't do it in England because they'd be arrested for some madness. The government didn't endorse it, so it was a problem. And the government still didn't endorse it just because they were out in the water, so they were trying to find a way to stop them from broadcasting this music. And so the story is about them playing the music and their lives on the ship, and the government trying to shut them down.
Do you think it's a metaphor for how government is going to shut us down one day?
No.
Oh, okay.
Alright. And this movie was... it was so well done. The acting is great. The music is great. Oh, no doubt.
Because if it's a movie they about got a pirate radio show, plays music and nobody wants
exactly.
to.
Exactly. I mean, you knew the soundtrack was going to be good. I still enjoyed every second of it, hearing some of those songs again. And I think that's what radio is missing nowadays, is that the DJs don't really have that much personality. Not regular radio per se, but like internet radio. Because like Pandora and all of these other places that play music, just play music that you type in the music that you like, and then it...
Speaking of Pandora, we can't use Pandora officially.
Because, yeah, because
however,
we're Jamaicans.
Try out Opera and their new Opera Turbo. Say,
yes,
so
yes.
That sounds like it might work. Just
there
to mention,
I saw that
article
you shared.
There is a plug-in for Firefox.
I've used that as well, but okay. I have a problem trying to find consistently credible US proxies.
Okay.
So the... Opera thing. Opera has a new feature called Opera Turbo, whereby if you have a slow internet connection, you can connect straight to them and they will speed up your connection. So if you're connecting to them and they're in the US, then
put
you
work.
Know, yep, there you go.
Alright. So The Boat That Rocked, this movie is a 8 out of 10 easy. It's just so good. Philip Seymour Hoffman is good. It's very funny. Commodore Norrington is in it.
How's Murray? Murray from Flight of the Conchords is in it.
No, yeah. I mean, this, across the board, wonderful performances. This is such a good movie. I'm so glad that I had a chance to see it. I also saw The Brothers Bloom, which
you
again,
did?
Yes.
You watched that?
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
Right. No, I'll talk about it later.
Alright, so I saw The Brothers Bloom and it is really, really good. I saw some so-so reviews about it, but I don't know what these mad people are talking about.
They're a bunch of haters.
Yes. But the problem is I read the bad reviews only, because reading the glowing reviews that give it 100 and all that, I mean, then you get overhyped for a movie. Everybody's like, oh, this is the best movie I've ever seen, and this and that. It's not the greatest movie I've ever seen, clearly. But I'd give it an 8.5 easy. It's about
two con men, the brothers Bloom, who they're going for one last big con, and they're trying to con this girl, and you know the adventures it takes them on what on whatever. The movie, I don't know how anyone could honestly not like this movie. I'm kind of puzzled. This movie is really, really good. There's things you can argue about with the plot and the ending. I've even heard someone complain about the narrator, which is lunacy, because the narration in this movie is so well done. I just don't understand. There's those crazy people out there on the internet, and I should really stop going and reading these reviews, because crazy people. I'd name names, but that's beneath me. Those are the two new movies I've seen also, saw, and I'm going to talk about two movies that I've seen previously. I saw Serenity again, and I realized that Serenity is the Cowboy Bebop movie. There's no way for them to make a better Cowboy Bebop movie than Serenity.
Wait, so you're saying Serenity is good?
Yes, it is.
It is?
I enjoy that movie a lot.
I guess I should watch it then. I mean, Chewie is in it, and that made me want to watch it, but at the Nathan same time, it's kind of...
No, the movie's good. I had watched the series first, and then it got killed, and I saw the movie.
That's never a great like selling point. I am a movie based on a cancelled television show.
Fair enough. No. But the cancelled television show was really good.
However, you're looking forward to Arrested Development.
That's because Fox are a bunch of...
And sci-fi are the greatest people in the world.
Moving on.
I'm calling the leg company for you.
I already have mine put in.
Branding. Alright. When I was watching the movie, I said, they're going to make a shitty Cowboy Bebop movie. But I already have my Cowboy Bebop movie. My live action version. This movie is very good. I don't understand why. If they just take this movie as a template and build their terrible movie on top of it, hopefully the movie will be passable and I'd somewhat enjoy watching it, but I fear that they won't do that, and so still no hopes for the Cowboy Bebop movie. But Serenity is still very good, and the series is based on I'm blanking on the name, right?
What, Serenity?
Firefly.
Right. Yeah.
It's also really, really good. And the last movie I'll talk about this week, I went back and I watched a movie that I didn't like initially. I don't remember why, because I saw it a long time ago. And when I said not like, I was really, really against this movie. And sitting here now, I really don't know why. I kind of don't understand what was wrong with me. But I saw Goodfellas.
What?
That movie.
Stop.
Movie's a
no, stop.
Great
stop.
Movie.
Stop. You're not allowed to even
no,
imply
no,
that you
no,
were
no, stop.
What's the number for the company?
No. I remember not liking the movie. But I don't remember why I didn't like the movie. I just know that I saw this movie, I wasn't a fan. I kind of think that it was probably because I saw it on one of those networks.
Oh, the
one
edited
of those networks,
versions.
Yeah.
And
it was 19 hours long because they had to put in a million commercials. But even then, I still should have liked this movie. And I'm so glad that I watched it now. Because if I had gone through life pretending that I like a movie that my brain was telling me, because I was never going to come out and say, you know, man, Goodfellas movie is not a good movie.
You'd hide
no
that.
One has ever said that.
You'd hide that.
I just go, yeah, sure. And carry that lie with me to the grave. But I won't have to know, because I've seen it again with my mature self.
Question. You've seen Casino, right?
Yes, I have.
Casino versus Goodfellas, which wins?
I give it to Casinos because of that whole pit shoveling dirt.
I give it to Casino.
I really love that scene.
It's one of those questions that I've been asking people recently, Scorsese fans. Most people reply Goodfellas.
I really love that scene. But and I got to see Goodfellas. They put it out on Blu-ray recently, and it looks
it's out on Blu-ray.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh Lord. I mean, that opening scene could almighty. Wow. I mean, people who don't think this Blu-ray thing matters, just shoot yourselves. don't watch movies, because there's something wrong with you. It looked great. It sounded great. The movie, I mean, it's just ideal movie. And sit like there was nobody home. The place, the movie's so good. I honestly don't know why I didn't like that movie. And I'm glad that has changed. The last thing I'll talk about is How I Met Your Mother.
That's a good show.
I'm halfway through season 4. And
wait for it.
If these people don't tell me who the mother is,
you're going to kill somebody.
By next season, the start of next season, man, people gonna have problems. If dragged it on for 4 seasons, I think I'm ready to find out who the mother. They can still after they tell me who the mother is.
Here's the thing for me with that, right? I understand the need for it. The need to continue this.
Yes.
Whatever. However, he's telling a story to his children.
Yes.
Who, I'd assume, would know, for example, like in the first season, the first episode, he tries to play up that Robin would be the mother. How the children would know that Auntie Robin is not their mother, and therefore stop the story in the middle. But wait.
Well, no. But you can also say to yourself that maybe he didn't use names.
Possibility, but I rather believe.
Just like in that movie that you really like.
Definitely maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that movie. I really love that movie. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But
I don't know why either.
How I Met Your Mother is awesome. Barney is indeed legend. There he is. And these people respect chronology in a way that most series don't. People just break whatever they need from past, they just dream up new madness or whatever. I really, really like this series. It's almost to Black Books in terms of like. But Black Books ended after 3 seasons. So I want more though.
Can they
get Andrew? Tell him to make more Black Books.
I think he's moved on.
Really and truly. Come on.
I don't care.
Black Books is hidden
there. I love that. But I think that's it. I've watched some other seasons, like episodes of things. You guys still are watching Dark Blue for some god awful reason. I guess you people don't like good TV because they're crazy.
Listen, I'm going through shows.
No, then go to good shows. Skip all the
chucks.
Through all the nonsense, the chucks, and all the foolishness.
Go to
believe. After you watch one episode of Dark Blue, you understand what I'm talking about. You won't go, oh, you know, this is kind of alright. No. There are 7 episodes so far, and they've been at least 9 out of 10s. I mean, this it is so good. It is kind of crazy. I still cannot believe a show on TNT is even remotely this good. And you people still refuse to watch it. I'll just be talking every week. I will come here. That Blue is awesome. And you're
just gonna
whatever.
Keep going until
like,
until
yeah,
we watch it.
And then years from now, you guys are like, Dark Blue is so amazing, and I'm like, don't talk to me. So Andrew, we come to you. What have you been watching? And you can't name any Pixar movies because we don't care.
Well, I did watch a Pixar movie this week. Anyways, today I watched Brokeback Mountain for the first time. And I have to say, I really like this movie.
Oh, It's a really good movie.
It's what are you talking about?
It's a fantastic
movie. And to come back to your point, we would always talk about this movie, and you'd always say that people like it only because it's about gay people.
You're damn right.
Right? I don't think that's true. I think it would work for any story,
Andrew,
about like any two individuals who had to hide their relationship.
Andrew, this movie was about a man and a woman. The show would be done in 20 minutes.
Why?
Because that's the only thing that they keep stringing along about. The fact that both of them are married, right? And what is really bad about this whole situation is that the two of them love man. Without that, Andrew, if it was a man and a woman, they'd have been... Like, they wouldn't have all of the extra mystery and nonsense. They wouldn't have been
if that movie was set in today, mm-hmm. It would have ended in 20 minutes. Because they wouldn't have the huge needing to hide the fact that they were loving each other. So it would be, oh, I love you, move on, the movie's done. But what I'm saying is it's just like any film where two individuals have to hide it. Even if it's heterosexual or homosexual.
Love in a Time of Cholera. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
Alright, never mind. Move on. Alright, you love the movie. It was Ang Lee.
But at the same time, it's a movie that I know I won't revisit anytime soon.
Because you're homophobic.
Probably.
Sad man.
This week I also saw... What was it again? I saw Management. That new film with Jennifer Aniston and Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn.
This movie's horrible.
Really?
Like,
Jennifer Aniston, Steve Zahn.
For all of those movies, Zooey Deschanel movies, you make fun of me for loving the color, and you hate for the quirk on top of... There is no level of quirk you find in a Zooey Deschanel movie that equates to this relationship in this film. The man, like, you've seen the clip with the teaser trailer that they let out at first that Douglas fell in love with about... Steve Zahn tries to do something and she's like, what would constitute this working, touching my butt? She's like, alright, you can touch my butt. And she like puts her hands there and just waits. Like, even that scene is just so horribly done. There's no sense of believability in this film whatsoever. I don't buy it.
I watch this because you brought up Zooey Deschanel. I will be watching this film. I'll be talking about this film next week.
I also watched.
It is better than. Have you seen Gigantic?
I have, and I don't like it.
I didn't really like that movie either. I'm sorry.
It hurts, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. It hurts. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't that great.
I think if we took the DC version, the Damien's cut version of Gigantic, to be an average film, it would have 30 minutes of the movie we saw at most, because there's so many problems. Yeah,
what was the thing with the guy who was trying to kill him? What was that about?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense at all.
Ooh, what?
Another film I saw this week, because you mentioned it last week, was 17 Again, and I have to say I'm surprised.
And it's not fair to say it's just because you have low expectations. Because there's no expectations in this movie.
When last was there a good Matthew Perry film, much less a Zac Efron?
Yeah, this movie is going to suck. It didn't.
What I found hilarious throughout this film was whenever you saw Zac Efron trying to get close to the wife.
Yes.
That was hilarious. And another thing that made me laugh, but as a side note, is the daughter in the film is played by Michelle Trachtenberg,
which cannot act, by the way.
Yes, she cannot act, whatever. She was in Buffy, and she has been playing a high school person from the year 2000
years.
Or something.
Is she
around
like
there
40?
Apparently she's 23 now. She's still playing high school. But I hear she's going to be moving up in the academic world.
I'm sure.
And be
she's...
going to college in Gossip Girl.
Fair enough.
One last movie I want to mention this week that I saw was Chandy Chuck to China.
Oh yeah.
Oh lord.
I went and I watched this film and
because you said,
I actually really
you said,
enjoyed that
I movie. Have $600, let me light it on fire.
I actually enjoyed that film. I enjoyed it on two completely different levels. Number one, it's like ridiculous kung fu film, like kung fu hustle comedy. And at the same time, it's Bollywood singing. So you have a musical in there, and you have kung fu hustle craziness.
Okay.
And you have things like Gordon Liu playing the villain, which is hilarious. You have the the lead role, can't even remember his name right now. He's pretty fucking hilarious. The only problem I have with this movie is that the first 16, well, other than Bollywood, because I mean, I've watched maybe 5 Bollywood films in my lifetime, and they all tend to be pretty ridiculous with themselves. The first 60 minutes of this film, I think, could have been edited down into like 15-20, and it would have been fine, because it's right after that that the actual story of the film begins. And it's not even like Atonement where you can go back and appreciate the first 40 minutes.
Oh, no, you're
going how beautiful it looks.
No, sir.
No.
Wrong.
what do you think about Atonement, by the way?
Post 50 minutes, I love that movie. The entire really? Movie, no. Not a fan of that movie.
I'm almost the complete opposite. I love all of the movie pre the last, say, 15 minutes.
No. Because the first 50 minutes was so unnecessary, it is kind of amazing. They dragged out something that they could have been told in text. And they dragged it out to 50 minutes.
By the way, one more movie I do want to mention before we get into it was another one that we saw together, Time Traveler's Wife. And I initially was very skeptic. I thought it was going to be crap. I actually enjoyed this
movie. Yeah, it's a really good film.
I saw the trailer on... Part of it was biased towards the music that was playing in the trailer. I think it was Lifehouse. But I like the people who are in the movie. And I said, this could be awesome. And I told my sister about it, and she's like, the book is awesome. And I read the book, and the book is indeed awesome.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's not a book for men. I don't approve men reading anything where it starts out by describing a sex scene in womanly terms.
Womanly terms.
Like, as the sweat drips.
What? So no dirty talk.
They were banging. Aha! Yes. But it was a good book.
Yeah.
I'm so, glad to hear that really wants to see.
Yeah, sorry, and it was projected digitally.
Rachel McAdams is
she's very good looking.
She's made out of the right stuff.
That she is. And she's going to be in Sherlock Holmes very soon.
Yes, she is.
And she's not going to be in much, which is nice. However, I think we need to talk about something else. We need to talk about the 5 top father films.
Yeah.
That is our new quest that we must take on. And Andrew, what is your...
You want my top 5 first?
Yes. Alright.
Top 5 films about fathers. No, I took liberties with this title. You know, I took it to mean top 5 films in which the main protagonist and the more or less the main point of the film is family and the father. Go.
Damn it.
Number 5 is There Will Be Blood.
I thought of doing that first
hold on.
But I didn't do it.
Pretend like you're reading my list. No one knows you're reading my list.
Okay, sorry folks.
Pretend you can't see my list. Be amazed when I announce them. Number 5 is There Will Be Blood. I think this is the least one that really qualifies because...
There is no blood.
No, because I mean,
Boston in the basket.
Even though the father and son dynamic is really important in the film, it isn't the main focus at all. Like, if he didn't have a son, the movie would have still went on. And whatever. But I still threw it in there because it's an awesome movie. I love it. And he does that bastard in a basket.
You have none of me in you.
Number 4 is 3:10 to Yuma. Christian Bale playing this father who wants to show his sons that he can be a hero, changed the view of him in
he's
his
a real man.
Yeah, that he's his sons have been looking down on him all these years, that he's been struggling to try and do this stuff, and he tries out to be a hero. Number 3 is Taken, Liam Neeson's latest action film that we've fallen in love with, where
<So awesome. laughs>
his daughter gets captured and he decides the whole of France is on a hit list. Movie's amazing.
France.
Number 2 is The Incredibles.
That's the one.
I think this is either second or third in my list of best Pixar films ever.
Oh no, yes, this ranks extremely highly, I would have to say.
I think I was so sad that I didn't see this movie.
It probably
in the
ranks as highly as Wally ranks as lowly, if you get what I'm saying.
Wally is still my number one.
No, wait, are you serious?
I'm serious. I love this movie. And I love Mr. Incredible, played by Craig T. Nelson.
Okay, so yes, number three,
and
number two,
one,
it is.
Number one is the father of all father films. I don't care what you want to say, The Godfather.
Spice.
This movie is one of the greatest films ever. If you have not seen this film, turn off my podcast. I don't want you listening to me. Go and watch this movie and come back and then apologize to me.
Film snob, everybody.
Douglas, what's on your list?
You haven't seen Kurosawa movies, and you're telling people who haven't seen Godfather that you shouldn't listen to. You should be listening to your own podcast.
All right, I'll go.
Okay, so my list really isn't in any specific order. And my list is a little bit strange. Most of them are like Andrew's, where it's actually a strict father-son or father-daughter relationship. But I took it to mean more along the lines of you don't actually have to biologically be a father, but you could be a father figure in this film.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my first on my list, not first by any means, you know, all mixed up and jumbled, is Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves and
I remember watching that
once.
Al Pacino. I remember watching that. Charlize Theron, her
movie.
It's one of her two movies with Keanu. Keanu didn't do too well in the other one, but
Sweet November.
Yeah, Sweet November. Yeah,
I remember how freaky the ending of that movie was for me at one point when I first watched it.
Yeah,
when they were like, "Your brother and sister," and you.
Yes. Another one on my list, which abides not strictly by the father-son rule, but more by the essence of it, is Leon the Professional with, Jean Reno. I'm not cheating. I think that is...
But I think that's more of a husband-wife dynamic as far as Natalie Portman is concerned.
As far as Natalie Portman is concerned, but as far
but
as Jean
wrong.
Reno... Exactly. Jean Reno is more of a father figure because
wrong.
She's just a messed up... confused little girl who needs fathering, and Jean Reno steps up to the plate.
Question, because I haven't seen it, but I've
haven't
heard.
Seen Leon?
No. I'm trying to. Let me
he
see what I'm saying.
It. I know that he's seen it.
I haven't seen the director's cut of this film, but I've heard that it kind of fleshes out that relationship between Natalie Portman and.
I've seen that cut
in
like a long time ago. I can't remember.
Can you tell me if. I guess true.
He did not bang her, and that is what I'm guaranteeing.
Alright, now, another movie that you guys are probably going to laugh at immediately is True Lies.
James Cameron.
I love that movie.
That movie is fair enough. Very True Lies. He was technically a father.
Yeah. The next one is great. This one abides by the law strictly.
Mm-hmm.
It also is a fantastic movie.
Oh, so it's not Meet the Fockers.
It's not Meet the Fockers. However, I do like Meet the Fockers. And I didn't think of that one, but I don't think
I didn't think of those either.
I put on my list here Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Where, you know, you've got Harrison Ford, you've got Sean Connery, and,
but,
you know, many funny anecdotes.
He's like the worst father of all time.
He's the best father to watch on TV of all time, I can tell you that, though.
Right. Every time the dude's teaching his class, kicks in the door.
I thought you were going to call out the last Indiana Jones film.
Three?
Four.
He did call out the last
year. What are you talking about?
No, seriously, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there wasn't any movie last year starring Harrison.
Exactly, there were no aliens. I don't know. There was
no
fridge.
Anyways, moving on.
So the last movie on my list is The Hangover. And yes, that is a father movie.
Alright, can you please explain that one?
There was a baby.
But he was not the father.
No, we're not giving it that one.
Galifianakis.
No,
right?
No, we don't want it.
He fathered the baby. Well, Paul Rudd was the father of the baby.
Douglas?
So...
Douglas.
There we go.
No. What is number five?
Number five. Hold on. Where is Paul Rudd?
Absolutely not.
Jesus. Did I say Paul
Rudd?
Yes,
he did say Paul.
I mean, whoever else it was.
There's no father in that movie.
Could you please pick another?
He married the hooker.
Douglas.
But he's not her father.
Douglas.
He is now.
Stepfather is not father. Stepfathers get lots of shit is what they get.
Sir, could you pick another?
Alright, fine. I'll pick another one. I'll say stepbrothers. Sorry, there are no fathers and
there
sons
is,
and mothers.
There is, but you know, I kind of don't think of this as a father. But whatever, I'll leave you alone.
Where is he getting this?
It's a lot better of a choice than Hangover.
Guess what? No, it's not stepbrothers, it's a Hangover. I'm sticking with it. However, I would like to say that I have an honorable mention, which is not on my list, and you cannot try and pretend like it is, but Dan in Real Life.
Oh.
A wonderful
movie. That should have been your number five.
No, it should not.
That's an awesome movie.
I know it's an
family
awesome
and father
I
and everything.
I love that movie, and it's perfect for this list. But I like The Hangover.
So next time we have the action top five, The Hangover will be number one.
There were a few car chases.
All right, Damien.
I'm still trying to get over The Hangover. Seems crazy, no? But I too have cheated and I've dreamt up madness criteria for this list.
So what's your madness criteria?
To get movies in there.
So which number is
actually
Rambo?
Don't belong. No, Rambo is actually there. So don't laugh. So Star Wars first.
We actually made fun of this the other day.
This is the thing. When Douglas and I were discussing this list, he was like, what am I going to put in this list? This is hard. And I was like, well, you know, you can be creative and play with it. I was even one time thinking of doing the top five film fathers, and then I could put Darth Vader in there. Because, I mean, I'm not afraid of mentioning that. Because, I mean, that's embedded in everyone. Everyone knows... You're my father.
We have to stop for a second, and I have to ask you this very important question.
Yes.
Which one of the movies are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about the first three.
Okay. Alright.
The good set.
Alright, fine. But I'd like you to, if possible, actually zone in on one film.
Actually, the father figure thing, that the reason I was cheating was because of Luke and what is the mental guy?
Obi-Wan.
Oh, Obi-Wan.
Right,
okay.
That is more a father relationship than him and
Vader,
Darth Vader.
Exactly.
I knew everyone's mind would jump to Vader. Yes. But it's not. It's Luke and
so more like
Obi-Wan.
A new hope then is
right.
What you're thinking. Okay.
Okay.
So that was... That's one. The second one is The Finding Nemo. I will call it The Finding Nemo forever. Because there is a little girl... That she calls, she doesn't know that the name of the movie is Finding Nemo. She thinks it's The Finding Nemo, and she thinks the character's name is
the
Nemo. Finding Nemo. She's like, look, Bobby, The Finding Nemo. And I'll never call it the right name ever again. Finding Nemo, I can't remember you guys. The fish swam all across.
I like one movie, but I wasn't thinking of that one as much as I thought of The Incredibles.
And of course, I thought of Incredibles too. But this bastard, this dirty, dirty person.
But you can take Step Brothers.
Absolutely not. Go to hell, sir. Half Nelson is also one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Technically.
Father figure.
I am cheating my
father
ass off.
Figure? Okay. I've only seen the first half of the movie, so...
He plays a huge
really
father figure
though.
To that child. I can't remember the character name, but... Yeah.
Alright.
That movie looks so good. I really need to finish it.
You need to, Douglas.
Yeah.
The other one...
Aaron in the chat room says, finally, somebody mentions Finding Nemo.
You're welcome, sir. The other one is in line with Half Nelson. I was going to put it on if this bastard didn't steal my movie. But it's a movie that all of us love. It's The Class.
Yeah.
I guess he plays the whole class, yeah.
Yes. Until the
whole skank. Is he a father figure to the skanks? Or...
To everyone but the skanks.
I didn't call you a skank. I said, you're acting like a skank, Douglas. Get it right. It's totally different meanings.
So what you're saying is he's not a father figure. He's just acting like a father figure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Totally different meanings.
He's trying to keep them off the pole.
Anyways, moving on. Anything else? Was that five? I wasn't counting.
Well, it would have been five.
I think it's four now.
But you stole one of my movies, as I said. But there's another movie there that was stolen, but I don't care because it's too awesome. It's Taken. Guys, come on,
Taken. He destroys the entire France for her.
I mean, I was going to use one of Arnold's movies, Collateral, the one where they take his wife and kill.
Collateral Damage.
And yeah, Collateral Damage, and he kill like half the United States to get her back or whatever. But
how about the fifth one? What was that? That one with the clones? What was the name of the clone one?
That's no, but that movie is terrible.
I know, but I was just...
No, I refuse. There were some other movies that
Kindergarten.
I saw.
Kindergarten Cop. That's a really good movie. I like that movie.
Father of the Bride.
Yeah.
That movie's alright. And there is... blanking on the name now. With some debating team madness.
Oh, the no, Great Debaters?
The Great Debaters.
I actually haven't seen that film. Is it good?
Looks horrible.
Have you seen it?
Of course not.
Oh. You see, that's why I put it the way
horrible.
I put
therefore,
it.
Therefore, it is horrible and I don't watch things that.
Just like the Time Traveler's Wife.
Just like the Time Traveler's Wife.
Fair enough, Doug. And 17 again.
He hasn't watched it yet, though.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
Right. So, those are my movies.
Okay, then.
So I guess we're going to talk about news. I actually have a couple of things to say about the news. I have to say that there have been a lot of comic book related news this week. And there are a couple of stories that Andra has set up for us. So I'm not going to talk about those. But I just want to throw out a couple of stories that I've seen. And there's actually one that I just saw that's a little bit breaking. I don't know if it's breaking, but I haven't seen it before. And I just saw it online and I wanted to...
Throw it out there too.
But first of all, of course, there's Kick-Ass, which looks like a really good film done by Matthew Vaughn, who's got two solid films behind him already, Stardust and Layer Cake. That's getting released in April.
Awesome.
Right.
I love
Ant-Man,
the comic.
Then there's this big rumor that Iron Man and Iron Man 2 might be in 3D, of course, fueled probably by something else that we'll talk about later on. Oh, we have this one in our list already. So I'll just go to the late breaking one here. Guy Ritchie has decided what film he's going to do after.
Oh, the Lobo.
Yeah, the Lobo thing. Is that new or am I just late?
Well, no, it's new, but I saw it. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
Before we
yeah.
started.
Yeah,
what's
so
the Lobo?
Lobo is apparently a comic book hero.
Another one of those.
Yeah, another one of those. Who is as old as I am? First came up about in
1983. Wait, the comic book character?
Yeah, the character.
Is whole. The character
No. It's
the comic book.
The comic book. It's or the character in the sense that it has existed since then. But
fair enough.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Okay, so that's the first time it came. Somebody drew that person.
Okay.
Right. And apparently it's like what it started off as was the writer wanted it to be a parody of, say, Wolverine and all of these kind of hardy kind of anti-heroes.
Right.
And nobody got the humor, and so
he's
kind of serious.
Wolverine.
Yeah, he became like a Wolverine type guy. And so Guy Ritchie is looking to make a movie out of that. Which is, I guess... You know, it could be really cool because I like Guy Ritchie. I feel like he's actually coming back in terms of awesomeness. Because
he
had
Rock and Roller.
Rock and Roller, you know, exactly. He had his first two, which were fantastic. Then he went down to the deep, dark depths of Revolver. And he's now come back up with Rock and Roller. Which, though it's not as good as his stuff previously.
It's not Revolver.
Exactly, it's not Revolver. And I would actually say that this is... It wasn't just average. It was more than average. It was a pretty decent
And Sherlock
film.
Holmes looks...
It looks good, and I hope it will be good. However...
But hold on. Your logic, if it looks good, it is good.
Yeah. But he also has a law.
I have a law.
The Jude
law. Moving on. Anything else before we go through?
No, that was mainly it, because you have the other thing I was going to talk about. You added it last minute, right? So, we'll talk about that in a second.
All right, so first news story, the biggest story to come out this week is that Disney...
Bad Boys 3, yeah!
No, no. Disney has bought Marvel Studios for $4 billion.
Oh, I have that.
No, I mean, everyone is throwing out all these crazy rumors, just like how you said, which I think this is because of this, the Iron Man 2 in 3D rumor going around. Because everyone knows that Disney has been pushing the 3D all since it started. Digital has become popular. IMAX Digital, all of these things have become popular and very affordable for people to go and see. You saw Up in 3D the other day.
I did.
First of all, before we start talking about Iron Man Rumo, what do you think of the digital 3D?
Well, I don't think Up was a good enough movie to really tell. Because honestly, to tell you the truth, I thought that the best 3D effect in that movie had nothing to do with the movie at all. It was in the beginning when it said, I am like a digital projection. And then there was this box that just came out of the screen and just kept coming, and it counted down from 10 until the show started. And that was probably the best 3D shot that there was in the movie. I didn't think that Up was really... It was made for 3D, I guess, because they made it for 3D, but I didn't think that it lent itself extremely well. The 3D effects were very subtle, which is a good thing, because that's how it doesn't become gimmicky. But at the same time, I just didn't think the situations were there that enough that it would warrant actually using the 3D. For example, there was the scene when the house was going all over the place. Yeah, that was good for the 3D. That was about it. I don't think there was any other scene. Oh, the dog fight. But even then, I didn't think that the dog fight was that great in the 3D realm. There was one time where like a propeller came up at you, and that was kind of neat, but it was too quick to really register how cool it was. Yeah. And in between those two major 3D parts, it was like, oh, I can see the different layers, and that was actually kind of neat. I did
That's what I kept hearing. That's why they did it. They used it mostly to the depth of field.
Yeah, and you could really, like, sometimes it's, at least in this movie, it was best done, or you could see it most properly when at the bottom of the screen, there was like the ground was in line with the bottom of the screen, so you could actually almost start at the bottom and just look back. Straight back.
Right.
Yeah, so that was a little bit neat, but I can't say that I am fully convinced or I am fully disproved yet of my hatred or love of this thing. I don't know. I don't know if it's a gimmick or not. This movie, it's too hard to tell.
Don't worry. Later in the year, you'll go and see Cloudy Chance of Meatballs, exactly. And you'll see all the gimmick you can find.
And you'll see Avatar, which will be phenomenal.
Oh, and that's another thing I wanted to mention. We saw Up in 3D, and they played the Avatar trailer that we saw last week in 3D in the theater.
Yeah,
we didn't see the Avatar footage, but we saw that trailer, and just the 3D added helped a lot in understanding what they were going for. Because you could see scenes, like, just even when he came off of the plane in the wheelchair, you could see when, like, the Avatar was there and all these little things were flying around him. Mm-hmm. Those things looked amazing, and now I am sold.
Yeah, I don't know yet. Also, one thing I have to say about this, I don't know if this is an effect that Pixar was going for. I also don't know if maybe my eyes are just kind of weird and I saw it wrong, but when there was depth, when, you know, you could see that this person is behind that person and that thing is behind the person, it never seemed real, because it always seemed like it was three or four layers of flat canvas, as opposed to a person that was round or a bush that had, you know, all of these foliage. Oh. So it was almost like I picked up a paper and put a paper drawing of a man here and then a paper drawing of a bush behind him, and that's how I felt the 3D looked most of the
time. Maybe that's what Cameron's working on, where it doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
Possibly. But anyway,
you've seen more than one movie in 3D.
I've seen this and I've seen Ice Age 3.
So did you think that what I just said is an issue? Was it like that in Ice Age 3? Did you think it was like that in Up?
Well, Ice Age 3 was more gimmicky than Up, okay, in that it tried to throw things at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a lot more chase scenes where you would see one guy...
Oh, and you've seen Coraline as well, haven't you?
No, it wasn't in 3D.
Oh, it wasn't in 3D.
You'd see a chase scene where the guy is coming at you, or you're watching him from behind and he's going this way, but they're keeping the camera so that you see him out at you. And stuff like that. And I generally like how the 3D looks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree with you. At times it can look like that paper, like Paper Mario paper, where you can see layer by layer looking like a sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think it looks good, and I'm looking forward to people who will push this new
medium. Sony will be putting out new plasmas next year that have 3D.
By the way, what the hell is that? Listen, that plasma is not new. You know what it is? It's a plasma TV with a higher price. Why is it that they're putting out these new 3D plasma TVs when you still need glasses? What does it do? Does it display red and blue better?
Because of the refresh rates that is necessary. So, regular video.
Oh, so it's just a regular TV with a higher refresh rate?
Yes, but it is a lot of work to do more refresh rates. Because the video is shown at about 24... frames per second. That's what most people are comfortable with.
Yeah. But
when you do 3D, there needs to be a lot of refreshing done, because if you keep it there, if you keep it on screen for too long, what will happen is that you'll start seeing, it's like chinks in the armor, basically, right? And because it's all shot on digital, it's not shot on video, so you can't have, so it, a lot of times when you're watching video and they move the camera, there's like there's a fuzzy effect, like them shift the camera quickly and you see like a little blur and then it comes back into focus and whatever. It's really hard to do that in digital because you'll see pixels and you need a large refresh rate to be constantly feeding the monitor information so that it constantly shows you a new picture. So you'll never get, there'll never be a situation where you look at it and you go, no, that looks...
So don't call it a 3D TV. Call it an awesome TV. Because that has nothing to do with 3D, goddammit.
Yeah, it does.
The glasses have the 3D.
Yeah.
The glasses and the DVD or video that you play on it has to do with
3D. Yeah, but remember that the chip that is in the TV might not know how to interpret that signal. So if you send... I'm sure if you send a regular TV the signal for... 3D, whatever, mm-hmm. then it just won't, the TV won't interpret it
of
properly.
Course it will. All 3D is three.
No, all 3D was red and blue.
Uh-huh.
I don't think the new 3D,
the new 3D is not red and blue specifically, but if you take off your glasses and you look, all it is it's the same couple of pictures imposed on each other, but maybe just a different shade of color or some sort of better.
Yeah, they've
thing.
Changed. I don't know what it is they changed.
It's
the same process as the old one. It's just probably a better application.
Exactly. And remember, no matter what they do, right? Unless they come up with a TV that does it by itself.
You always need the glasses.
Yeah, no, but I'm not talking about that. Unless they come up with a TV by itself, all a 3D image on a TV screen is an image. So you don't need like a special thing to show it. It's not, you know, I'll give you the refresh rate business. Yeah, that makes sense. But if you're just looking at an image, there's no difference between this TV we have here and, you know, the big HD TV downstairs, except for the fact that HD can make
pretty pictures.
All right, hold up. We're kind of getting off point right now. The news item that we opened with was Disney buys Marvel.
Mickey Mouse can have sex with Wolverine and come out of the closet and say that he's gay. Alright, so let's move on.
But then Wolverine will stab him in his sleep accidentally when he wakes up with nightmares.
And then
they
look up to the sky and go,
no!
It's so bad.
What people are most worried about is Disney or trying to tinker with Marvel products.
Yes, but Marvel doesn't have a say now because they've been bought. And Disney will tinker away. You think Disney really bought these people so that they can have flailing Disney characters? Not interact with Marvel characters. No one cares about Disney characters anymore.
Can you imagine?
Those days are over. But if Wolverine was stabbing Mickey Mouse in the head, he was shot. I'd watch it. Though it's going to be another Kingdom Hearts situation where they're just going to superimpose Disney characters in some of Marvel's universes.
I don't think there's going to be much overlap.
I don't think
Kingdom Hearts for sure. Kingdom Hearts for sure.
I thought in terms of movies.
I don't think of that. But yeah, especially movies, because I don't think they're going to want to taint their brands
pure
that
Disney
they have already
dirty Marvel properties.
Exactly, because most of Marvel a lot of Marvel properties are not extremely kid-friendly. And that's what Disney is.
Another Pixar situation.
No, but
Pixar is there and operate by themselves, but there, when you go to watch a film, it says, right before it starts, it says Disney.
But hold on.
Behind that,
hold on.
Just watch your movie.
Disney owns Miramax, yes. And Miramax has little to no trouble from Disney in what they do production-wise. What people find with this is that Disney is actually going to be very helpful because they're going to allow a much larger advertising budget. Because Marvel doesn't have that huge an ad budget on most of their films.
Well, Marvel has a lot of money, though. I think
they bought for $4 billion.
But what I'm saying is I think that they're, as stuff like that, their budgets were not based on the money they had, but the money they did not want to spend.
Right.
So it's not that, now that Disney has it, you can use that much money. Maybe they will because Disney owns them and Disney will say, listen, you're going to market it right.
We have Disney Channel people.
Marvel could have done that as well by themselves. The thing that I think will definitely come out of this merger is the fact that now Marvel can draw on stuff like Pixar's computers and their creative team to make a lot of the CG.
To make CG in Wolverine
exactly
better.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was about to say.
What's that movie?
Here's one hypothetical question I'd like to throw out there. You know, imagine the near future, Disney decides to hand out a game for the PS3. It's called Marvel vs. Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Which two characters would you want to fight against each other? A Marvel character against a Disney character?
Wolverine and Mickey Mouse?
No. I said, no. What are you talking about? When Goofy can fight the Hulk?
I want...
He'd be dead and we'd never have to hear Goofy again.
I want Minnie Mouse
mm-hmm.
versus the Invisible Woman.
Why?
So that Minnie Mouse can just get slapped silly without knowing
what
the fuck is going on.
You want violence towards women.
Understand? Anyway, I guess we're going to move on and we're going to talk about another Marvel franchise getting rebooted, apparently.
Yeah, Fantastic Four is going to it's officially being rebooted by Fox.
But the last two were movies.
So actually you were making a joke, but you struck on a really good point. The last two movies made a lot of money.
Aaron, who is it? Dr. Chicago, Jack in the chat room says he wants the Punisher versus Daffy Duck.
Good stuff, sir. That is good stuff.
Well done. But seriously though, what was I saying? Yeah, you said the last two movies are a movie. But listen, the last two Fantastic Four movies, I didn't like them, you didn't like them.
No one
like
in
them.
The world liked them.
No, clearly a lot of people did.
No people
because
stumbled into the box office.
No, you don't stumble twice, Damian.
Jessica Alba.
But that's the point.
They're hoping on the comic book crew.
For some reason, the first two movies made major cash. So... If you as a studio head say to yourself, made a lot of money, usually the automatic response is number
next.
Three, right? With the same creative team, the same people. But they're rebooting it, and I actually find it very interesting that they're doing that. I'm not looking forward to it, but
money, they're going to make it dark and gritty, which is the new tagline.
All right, Fantastic Four. The production budget is estimated. This is by Box Office Mojo at 130 million. The domestic gross 131 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's domestic gross before.
Oh wait, no, this is Silver Surfer. Holy crap!
Oh, exactly.
Let me see if I can find the first one.
It got the first made one like made another 150 overseas.
Exactly. It made overseas. It made from DVD sales. All that good
Chillions.
Stuff. Yeah.
Why is there no Star Trek DVD?
It's coming out. It's coming in December. In like Christmas-ish.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight was out at the end of summer.
No,
it
came. The DVD
was out
at
like
Christmas.
3 months.
No, it was out
Why
for Christmas.
Why am I waiting nine? It's me.
Listen no, it was like 5-6 months for the Dark Knight
August,
DVD.
Listen to me. From May until Christmas is what, 8 months? Why am I waiting 8 months?
Oh, here it is. The Fantastic Four 1 was budgeted at 100 and made 154 domestically in the States.
Plus 175
Again,
overseas.
There you go. 175 overseas. Plus DVD sales. All that good stuff.
And
it
merchandise.
A lot of money. Both
Sold
of them
a lot
did.
Of crap.
Hey, made money. I could see a studio exec saying maybe we should tweak something to see if we can make more on the box office because we just passed muster there. But I'm not sure. It seems a little bit weird to me that they're changing up all of that stuff.
I guess
for a franchise that
they probably looked
working.
At the wind. Maybe we can't trick people a third time.
The truth about the matter with this news item is I honestly believe from the get-go that this is the one property that just shouldn't be made into a film.
Why not?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think they can make it look real, these
Remember?
Characters. Like, you could see Mike Chiklis as the thing in this. It looks silly. Every time Mr. Fantastic stresses, it looks terrible.
You see, that's the thing. You're putting in your mind, you're saying all of these things based on the fact that you don't like the first two movies.
Right. No,
and
but I mean, this was before the first film came out.
No,
I was saying no
right.
to
no,
this.
But
no, no.
My question to you is, did you think they were going to make a good Dr. Manhattan?
Yes.
Okay, how? They
no,
could, so you couldn't make a thing, but you could
actually,
make
actually, the
a
truth,
giant
the,
blue
the,
man.
The truth about the matter with Watchmen is I actually hadn't read the book until I saw the trailer. And then I found out what it was and I went and I read the book.
So
while Fantastic Four I knew from I was young.
Alright.
So well. So I didn't know what the hell they were doing right. And I knew it looked awesome from the get-go. So it wasn't like they announced Watchmen.
If we're going to base it on CG, I don't think that's a valid reason.
Yeah,
because
CG can...
I saw Transformers and while the movie is terrible.
Part 2 or 1?
Yeah, part 2.
Okay.
While it is... borderline abysmal. Those Transformers look. They look like real Transformers. It looks like they built Transformers and made them fight. I mean, ILM can do anything. Those guys are geniuses down there. What are you talking
well,
about?
Maybe they can put them to work, unlike the people who worked on Wolverine.
Yeah, no, those people should. I worked on Wolverine.
You're fired.
Took me 3 days and a box of matches.
Another news item which came out this week was sequels announced. Bad Boys 3 is in production.
No, wait. Stop. We can't talk about it.
What?
No, we cannot. Because we're still into comic book mode. And there's one more comic book news item that we need to talk about. And that is Robert Downey Jr. and Jon Favreau taking on Cowboys and Aliens.
Okay, what would you like to say about this, Douglas?
Iron Man 4.
Exactly. Awesome.
Well, what is this property? What do you know about this property? Douglas?
Absolutely nothing.
Alright, so they've worked on one movie and it was awesome. They're working on another one that should be awesome.
Cowboys and Aliens, according to Slash Film, has a long history in Hollywood, famously bought. Wait, crap. I was looking for a plot synopsis. I thought that was it.
Aw, poor baby. Oh. Apparently it is actually about cowboys and aliens.
Oh, as far as you know, the logline says only settlers from the Native Americans wage a bloody battle for control of the land. But when the earth is threatened by conquerors from the stars, these sworn enemies must work together to save all humanity.
Sounds cliched as But
so is Iron Man, and that
yeah,
was awesome.
But
so Kurtzman and Orsi are busy rewriting.
Yeah, they are. It's funny because it's actually a team of comic book writers. I think, did they say that it was the Iron Man writers that started it and now the Star Trek writers are in, well, I shouldn't say comic book, but sci-fi type.
Yeah. So. I mean, you see, the thing is, I really don't know much about this property or anything other than, as you said, Iron Man 5.
They made one good movie and so we're hoping they will continue to make good movies together.
Exactly.
Another news item which came out this week, as I was trying to say, was Bad Boys 3 has been put into production and Rambo 5 has been greenlit.
Yes. And I think we should really focus more on Rambo 5. What do you think, David?
I think I don't care about either of these movies. I saw the last in both and wasn't hyped on any of them. I tried to like Bad Boys 2. I tried.
Here's the
but
thing.
I've stopped trying.
So here's the thing about Bad Boys. I'm actually not as...
I love the first one.
I know. I'm not as doubtful of Bad Boys 3 as you are. Why? Two words.
Gabriel Union?
No. Two words are Die Hard.
Will Smith.
Die Hard.
Will Smith.
Will Smith is awesome.
That is why I'm
right?
not... I mean...
But listen, look at Die Hard. Die Hard, the first movie was fantastic. The second movie was horrible. But have you seen the third one? The third one was really good. With a vengeance, I love that movie. So
but, no, but you see, here lies the difference.
The third
right?
one.
They said if it's been announced that if they decide the script is good enough, all the people are coming back who did all. But here's the difference with Die Hard: the director and writer changed for part two.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was the same director who ended up directing this year's 12 Rounds, which I'm sure
great.
You're looking forward to.
So good, Dan.
So, I mean, it's not like it's Michael Bay, Michael Bay, Michael Bay. It's
that Michael Bay, Michael Bay, Chris Nolan.
You know, it's the same set of people doing the movie all over again.
No, Bad Boy is just about
shooting shit up. Just like any Michael Bay film.
Oh. I think it could work.
Maybe you can put some Transformers in this one.
I say no to both of these films. I spent the early part of this
Rambo
year.
Was
I went
so
on a Rambo marathon and I watched all four of the
Rambo
movies.
Rambo Rampage sounds better.
All right, Rambo what?
Rampage.
Rampage. All right, Rambo Rampage. TM.
Redundant.
TM. I like the first one the most. The second one was just almost as good.
You're wrong. I'm not having this.
No, I know your reason.
Stop
and you know mine. Three was crap and four was even worse.
Why were the two of them standing in the rain in part four? Explaining shit. I never understood that.
Hold on, you actually watched it?
Of course I have. I had to. Rambo. It's so bad.
Like, I mean,
but
the only reason
First Blood Part 2.
The only reason anyone can pretend to like Rambo is for the last, like, 20 minutes when all he does is shoot.
I will treat First Blood Part 2 like I treat Casino Royale. I will rename them and put them far, far away from the other movies that are there.
First Blood is the best.
You're stupid.
And Bad Boys, I like Part 1, I hate Part 2.
But Part 2 had all that great music. Didn't Puff Daddy do the song?
And Part 3 looks like it's going to be reiteration. Especially after Transformers 2. No.
They'll have Lil Wayne and T-Pain.
Moving on, because I don't want to hear anything about Damien just talking about. Another news item which came out this week was casting news for television shows. Chuck Douglas' newest favorite show, Brandon Routh, is going to be casting it for next season.
That starts on March 2010.
You don't sound bit at all.
And Summer Glau, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right,
yes,
who was
chick from
who
Serenity.
Was in Firefly, Serenity, and Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles,
and one episode of My Guilty Pleasure.
Nobody cares.
The Big Bang Theory.
Is going to be cast in Dollhouse, which I think is awesome because I loved her in Firefly.
And Serenity.
Even though I didn't watch Terminator that much, I saw like the first 5 episodes and said, fuck this shit.
I don't think you missed anything.
And I mean, you can see from Terminator, I think people loved her. She can play that empty look. Because that's all she needs to do for Dollhouse.
And that's all she does in all of the movies that she plays.
Actually, I think she looks awkward in whatever she does.
Go watch Firefly.
No. I think it's just because she does look awkward. She's very skinny and she looks weird. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Moving on, that's the end of news unless there's anything.
Wait,
you guys want
to
mention?
Ruth to Chuck.
Any other news you guys wanted to mention?
Not really, no.
Alright, trailers that came out this week. The first trailer I want to talk about is this new trailer starring George Clooney and Ewan McGregor, The Men Who Stare at Goats.
My name is Bob Wilton. I'm a journalist. I've been investigating a story about a classified government program. So what you're saying is that you
were a psychic spy.
A Jedi warrior.
I'd heard that the U.S. government was training psychic soldiers, and that Lynn Cassidy was the best of the best.
I've been reactivated. I'm on a mission.
I could come. Lynn's story was unbelievable, crazy, and completely true.
We have to dream a new America that no longer has an exploitative view of everyone.
You will be a psychic weapon.
Feel it, yes! We must create warrior monks who can pass through walls and see into the future.
Congratulations, Scotty. Sorry it doesn't work out between you two.
What are you doing?
Cloud bursting. Keeps me in shape. And it's gone.
Jeez, you had like the whole desert to drive in, Lynn.
Please, please. Thank you for picking us up.
How are we gonna stop them? They've got guns.
We're Jedi. We don't fight with guns, we fight with our mind.
Holy.
I went looking for a story, and my friend Lynn brought me an adventure.
It's okay, we're Americans. We're here to help you.
What happened?
I think I just ran him over. Oh, crap.
Lieutenant Colonel Django used funds from the project's black budget to procure prostitutes.
That's a lie.
And to get drugs for himself and his men.
That... Well, the hooker thing is definitely a lie.
Douglas, why don't you start this one off?
Well, I was very surprised when I watched this trailer because
the movie
called Men Who Stare at Goats actually had men staring at goats, and that just threw me off completely. Oh. Right? It was very strange. But no, honestly, to tell you the truth, I think this trailer is pretty funny. I love Ewan McGregor. I like George Clooney sometimes when he's in movies like this one.
And he's not being
and I mean
serious.
It also has Kevin Spacey, the
exactly
dude.
Kevin Spacey is in there, you know. Jeff Bridges is
Jeff
in there
Bridges.
Yeah, he's the dude for all intents and purposes.
Fair enough.
So it has a cast that makes me want to watch this movie. It has a premise, well, not quite a premise, but
Jedi's exist.
It has the nonsensical type of story that I like to watch. The one thing that I don't like is it says it's based on a true story. Generally, based on true story equals awful, but I'll give that.
I think they're joking this time.
I think they are too, but I hope so.
I think what they mean
it's probably based on
a true story,
yeah,
I've learned is really,
really
it doesn't mean anything because they can say that there existed a department in the place where they thought psych would work and it never happened, but since that existed, that's true, so I'm going to write this story based on that.
Yeah, exactly.
They do that in films.
Yeah, but I'd have to say I would definitely watch this movie. Not sure how well it will work, but I hope it works well.
Damien?
Yeah, I saw this trailer, and this trailer is nonsensical. I think that's the best way to describe this trailer.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
No, it's a good thing this time.
We have a lot of nonsensical trailers right this week.
So, you know how the spoof movies like... what was the last one the Wayans brothers did? The
Dance Flick
and whatever. Where they just take everything to the extreme, but you know because they're spoofing other movies, it's going to suck. They aren't spoofing anything in this movie, but they've taken everything to the extreme. Apparently they're psychic. There's a psychic department in the government that are training people to walk through walls and... all sorts of nonsense. Speak to go to their mind.
Kill them.
Right. And it looks...
I need cloud bursts.
It looks really funny. My only fear with this movie is...
it might go too far?
No. anyone can cut a funny trail.
Right.
Will this movie work over an hour and a half? Will they jump the shark so fast and so hard that there's no real recovery for this movie? They're just going to, it's just going to be so absurd that you just go, what the hell am I, what, and there's nothing else funny. Hopefully it's not that and it's more Tropic Thunder. I'd like that.
I love this trailer for the same reasons that you guys love the trailer, and I personally don't have such fears. Because I am in Douglas's category, the trailer looks good, this movie must be good.
Has worked well for you in the past, hasn't it?
No, but I don't care. I already have my leg.
His attention span like a squirrel's.
Fair enough.
You guys have mentioned George Clooney and Ewan McGregor. Kevin Spacey looks awesome in this trailer. You see this one shot where he comes up to the couple who just got married. He's like, I don't remember what name he says. He's like, hi, Steve. You know, congrats on getting married. Sorry, it doesn't work out. And then you see this thing where you see flashing this light at this dude. It just looks hilarious. I'm sorry. I have to see this movie.
No, I'm going to see this movie.
And, like, that part where George Clooney...
Are you going to see this movie? Or are you going to see this movie?
I'm going to see this movie. Like, going to see this
like
movie.
Like, physically up and...
Because you guys have said that a company that will not be named. It's in them shit.
Whether it's constant or not, we're not sure.
Yeah, that's my money.
But anyways, like, there's this one bit with George Clooney and Ewan McGregor driving through and he's cloud bursting. And he runs into this rock and he's
the
like...
The one rock in the middle of the...
You have all of the desert to go through and you decide to hit the rock. Like, no. God busting right there.
It's a good trailer.
George Clooney tends to do really good comedies.
Sometimes he can. He tried to do one and didn't do one well with Leatherheads.
Oh yeah, that one wasn't that good. I think he was trying. I think
I blame Renee Zellweger for that.
Is it? She's bad in that movie, but I blame the whole production team for that one because I think they were trying too hard to emulate what a Coen Brothers film would look like.
Yeah, he probably said to himself, "So I was in Intolerable
Brother,
and oh, I didn't even think of that. And oh, brother, where out though? How can I make that movie? Those movies again?" Without Coens.
Does Renee Zellweger actually come in good movies? Or does she just drag every movie down?
She has a couple of good movies where? I like. I like Chicago. Right. I like the Cameron Crowe movie that I talked about to you earlier today. Shit, what's the name?
She's not in Almost Famous.
No, not that one. The other one.
The
You had me at Hello.
Oh, Jerry Maguire.
I like that movie.
That's Cameron Crowe.
Oh,
I didn't even realize that, you know.
That's Cameron Crowe.
I love that movie. Right,
and I'm sure there's a couple more out there that people love. But
yeah, there's a reason she's a big actress. It's not because... Well, I shouldn't say big actress, but she's...
But those are the two that come to mind from there. Anyways, the next trailer that came out this week, The Boondock Saints 2.
Fuck you, I didn't want to talk about that trailer.
Peace, they say, is the enemy of memory. So it had been for my boys. For some time now, their past had felt like a dream. And then, suddenly, it was back.
What do you think?
I think Yakov had to kill a good man just to send us a message.
Let's send him one right back.
I know who you are.
Everybody loves you guys.
That shit was not funny!
I didn't even know he had a protege. Special Agent Eunice Bloom. Miss Broad's gonna be a nightmare.
These saints put my father on his knees. We know the boys. They're either on their way, or they're already here.
Cried to my daddy on the telephone. How long now?
You ready for this shit? My dear brother.
Till the clouds are rolling, you come home alive.
Let's do some gratuitous violence. Easy, boys. Daddy's working.
We'll be right back.
That was one of the finest examples of spiritual guidance I've ever had the good fortune to witness.
I was getting ready to talk about a trailer that was good.
All Saints Day.
What's the name of your trailer? Just by the by.
No, let's talk about this one when we get to the other one. Damien, what do you think about this trailer?
It's men shooting other people. Looks alright. It's pretty much it.
Okay, well,
that's profound.
That's all I see. Listen, you guys know why I'm an action.
What did you think about the first one? You've seen the first one, right?
Yes, I have.
What do you think of that one?
Men shooting other people.
Do you think it deserves a sequel years later?
No, not really. I don't think they're going to do it as well. But again, it's men shooting other people. I mean, as long as they don't Max Payne it, then it should be alright.
I'm trying to pull something out. Douglas, moving on.
Alright, there's a bit of an admission that I need to make.
Haven't seen the first one?
Oh no, I've seen the first one.
Because slapping.
I've seen the first one, and though I believe that I need to revisit it.
I too.
Because I think that at the time, my tastes were a little bit different, but I did not like the film. There were portions that I loved. A lot of the action bits. I mean, he hit somebody over the head with a toilet top or the seat or whatever it was. So that was really cool. But overall, I really didn't like the first movie.
When you said that, the spirit just popped up in my head.
Oh yeah.
Why? Why love this period? Why? I thought we were friends.
And so that is not a good precursor or you know, a good start for this trailer. Then I watched the trailer and you've got the character played by Rita from Dexter, Julie Benz, who is clearly just a female cut and paste of Willem Dafoe's character from the
which
first movie.
Which was so awesome in the first movie.
I didn't like it. But again, my tastes have changed, so I need to revisit it to just make sure. But I think that maybe it will work. I don't know. But I think that it's almost like trying too hard. Why do you need a character that is almost a carbon copy, or seems to be, because clearly I haven't watched the movie yet, a carbon copy of another character from the old movie?
I told you exactly why, Douglas. Because they can't have Willem Dafoe back.
I'm not saying have Willem Dafoe back. I'm saying if you can't get Willem Dafoe back,
if the story
can't have that character, why just add breasts and long hair to the character and then change the name? Because why not just make it a story that works by itself without the gimmick of
what if they can't do that?
If they can't do that, then don't write the movie.
If
your movie requires this
they change people in movies all the time.
I never said it worked. Like, this changing
Dark Knight.
Well, no, that's different. That's a character that was the same character.
Yes,
they change the actress because the good-looking one couldn't work.
What are you trying to say? That Gyllenhaal doesn't look good?
Yes, actually.
I'm on the side of Gyllenhaal looking good. Maggie, of course, not Jake.
No, she looks skanky is what she looks like. She looks like she'd give it up quick. She doesn't look good, okay? She's not pleasant.
Yeah, let's turn off that mic, though.
I'm sorry, she's not. Anyway, that's different from not being able to get a character and saying, holy shit, let's just have a new character that is really the old character. That's not cool.
Fair enough.
Alright, since you've been repeating yourself for the past 5 minutes, and I'll try to answer your question. That character, Willem Dafoe's character, which, as I said, can't be in this film. I'm coming to it, just give me a second. Uh-huh. Can't be in that film, because at the end of the first film, spoiler for that, if you haven't seen it, he finds out, and he even goes along with helping them to complete the mission, right? So, if he ends up being in the film, it's going to be even more intricate and probably a little more difficult for the story to move along.
Right.
Willem Dafoe, but
the type of character
was so important to the story that they need someone like that.
So what
therefore,
you're saying
imports
then,
breasts and ass.
So,
and
so what you're saying then is that this sequel is not really a sequel. It is part one made over.
Sam Raimi did it. Why can't this dude?
Whatever. Moving on.
No, a sequel must not be the first movie.
Sir,
again, a sequel has
Evil
to be
Dead
its own story.
Evil Dead 2.
Sir.
So I'm to that.
I think you're getting bent.
But that's a ship. But that's a sequel, which is the same exact
thing
as the
bent
first
out
one.
The ship for a sequel.
That's not
to Boondock.
That's
Saints.
Not what I'm not saying. That's a good thing.
Sir.
So you're saying Evil Dead 2 is bad?
No, I love Evil Dead 2, but I'm just saying that if you need to rely on gimmicks like that, then don't make the bloody movie.
Sir, you're getting annoyed about
yeah.
the sequel to a movie.
But they need. But they needed Evil Dead 2.
You too. Did you like the trailer or not?
Yes.
Moving to the next trail.
No, I want
no,
to talk
no,
about
no.
this.
Listen to me. We're not tight, Shadow. Could we move this over?
I like the trailer. I want to see this movie. I like the first one.
Right. People shooting other people. So.
The last trailer of the week that we saw was this new Woody Harrelson film, Defendor.
There'll be time for questions later. Right now, I need your help.
Arthur Poppington.
Use my other name, Kay. It works better that way. Just call me Defendor.
Defender?
Defendor. Look out, termites. It's squishing time.
Who are you supposed to be?
Your worst nightmare. Trouble has a way of following me.
Arthur, why is it so important that you capture Captain Industry?
Top secret. I'm looking for someone.
Yeah, who?
Evil mastermind, smuggles drugs.
I'll probably know him then.
Show me.
Well, that kind of information doesn't just grow on trees.
Where's Captain Industry?
It's lime juice. Come on. Please, God, not the lime juice! Where is he?
What are you doing?
I'm gonna capture Captain Industry.
Yes, ADD, delusional megalomania.
This Captain Industry doesn't exist! You're sick, man. You need help.
Serious lack of common sense.
She's not a hooker. She's a friend.
Socially immature.
He can be a perfectly functioning member of society. He needs guidance.
I'm not a joke.
I'm not kidding around. You're going to jail.
And I have to make sure I say that right.
Yes,
off the
Defendor,
Earth.
Not Defender.
What cartoon was that? The
Defenders,
for?
Of,
Defenders
the
of
the Earth.
Defenders of the Earth.
No, that's
the
name.
Oh, that's
the name.
Yeah. It's the one. It's the one with all of the heroes. You know, like
yeah.
Pink Panther, not Pink Panther, Flash
Gordon,
Panther, Panther,
Mandrake,
all of those people. Yeah.
Oh, that was.
Anyways,
that was good.
Defendor, starring Woody Harrelson and Kate. I can't remember
Kat
her name.
Dennings.
Kat Dennings. Why did I think Kate? Kat Dennings. This movie looks silly funny.
Yes,
like not
is.
Even like we are goats, stare at goats funny. This looks
Black
like
man.
Like Woody Harrelson doing one of his silly roles that he's been doing recently.
But not just that, it looks like it might not be that silly. What it looks like is more along the lines of Michael Rapaport's new film.
And it reminds me a little bit of
right.
Noise as well.
Yes, that's true. Yes, that was a good movie. So it looks like it's actually just, you know, more, it's going to take more of a view of this is a crazy man who is trying to fight an imaginary opponent with lime juice. And I love it. I think it looks really funny. It does look like it has some room for error, but I hope that it's not there. And I really want to watch this movie.
Damon?
I didn't really like this trailer. I'm still going to watch the movie. Because it's... The trailer wasn't great. It was kind of average. But it sold me on the movie. I like the premise. You know, this. I saw the Rectifier.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, we're just calling them by
like
their
that.
Hero names.
And I also like Blank Man.
Really?
Really?
Yes. I liked it at the time, but I watch it now and I'm like, ooh.
Obviously,
yeah.
Recently, I haven't watched it in a long time. I'm just going by the last time or so. I like that. You know, where I'm a comic person, I like superhero movies.
You're a comic person.
They've done it. They've done some good, some bad. Hopefully this is good. We haven't seen Special, of course.
Yeah. It's on DVD.
Hopefully. I guess we'll see very soon.
Yeah, I guess.
I need to go and check that out. I keep forgetting about that one. I like this trailer a lot. I mean, one thing that really struck me is Woody. He reminded me of all of his roles. There was, like, I watched Management this week, as I told you, but Woody Harrelson is in that film.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
But he's only in for like 10 minutes, so it's not worth it. It's not worth it just for him. But his scenes are really good. It's like what you expect from him. As soon as you give him a character, he just plays it to the T, hams it up a lot, and it's awesome. So yeah. I expect that in this one. And Casey Jones is in this movie as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Casey Jones. He's all over the place all of a sudden. What was the other trailer we saw him in?
Shutter Island.
No. Today, we were just watching two trailers today that we saw him in.
I don't know what the other one is.
Oh, okay.
Unless he's in Boondock Saints trailer, was he?
I don't know.
I forgot to mention Clifton Collins Jr. I like him.
Yeah,
he's in that movie. He's awesome. Anyways, moving on. For the feature review of the week, we're going to be talking about World's Greatest Dad.
It was raining yesterday afternoon, water dripping off the lilac bushes my mother loves, and as I sat and watched the blood pour out from between my legs and felt the pain of motherhood, I wondered if it would have been a boy or a girl.
Thank you. That was very personal.
Thanks.
Anybody else have their haiku? My name is Lance Clayton. I'm a writer, but so far nothing I've written has ever been published. Ernest Hemingway once said, all he wanted to do was write one true sentence. He also tried to scratch an itch in the back of his head with a shotgun.
Your poetry course is not very popular.
There's poetry, sir.
Does it bother you that I have male friends?
Not at all. Come on now, Kyle, you must be passionate about something.
Oh, you want to know what I like?
Yeah.
I like looking at vaginas all day long.
Now, this film is about Lance, the father of this bastard son. I will call him a bastard because I hate him.
He's the world's worst son.
And he ends up dying. Right? And Lance is a writer, and he decides, a failing writer, because no one picks up his work, and he decides to write something under his son's name and pass it off, and it becomes popular, and so on and so forth.
Writes the son's suicide note.
Yeah, I think we can say that because that actually was a part of the initial.
In the trailer.
Yeah.
Is it? Because I remember the trailer we saw had just showed us all of the first 30 minutes.
I don't know if it's in the trailer, but guess what? Remember, I knew about it.
Yeah, you knew, but you see, that's why I'm being a little bit vague about
it. It was in all of the media stuff from the beginning. Right, the son dies from autoerotic asphyxiation. If you guys don't know what that is,
Wikipedia,
whatever.
Actually, don't.
It's kind of funny. So he dies in a not so glamorous way, exactly. And his father, for whatever reason, maybe he doesn't want to be embarrassed. Maybe he doesn't want his son to be embarrassed. Fixes it so it looks like a suicide, and there's no naughty bits hanging out. And he writes a suicide note, and the suicide note gets leaked, and people love it, and people get moved by it, because in truth and in fact, despite being an unsuccessful writer, he's a very good writer, and he continues to write these things under his son's name, and they get more and more blown out of proportion, and he even goes on to a show, like an Oprah-esque show, and
no, they didn't have the rights to Oprah. Oprah.
That's what I said. Oprah-esque, Oprah-like. And it gets to a breaking point, and you know, so that's essentially the movie. The movie is this man who
his life sucks,
and I personally think I think that a lot of the stuff he wrote in his son's journal was actually more like his journal. I think it was more him getting out his issues vicariously through his non-existent son. and I liked...
You could tell that was the case, because he kept telling people that the son liked this type
Bruce
of music.
Yeah, Bruce Hornsby and like that kind of thing. Yeah, that's true. But what I liked, what was a little bit subtly played on was the... Maybe I shouldn't call it romance, but I like to think of it as a romance between Lance and his neighbor.
The little youth?
No, the old lady. It was clear that things weren't going to work out with his current girlfriend, but
because
you know,
she's a whore.
Yeah, exactly.
Dirty.
But he couldn't see that, as most guys would not, you know. And there was clearly this... First of all, his girlfriend is a much younger woman. Clearly at least 20 years. And the neighbor was more his age range. Actually,
a little older.
She looked a little older, but I don't know if that's just her not taking care of herself. So they could be the same age. And, you know, there was a scene where they showed that they clearly had the same interests. They liked to talk to each other, and conversation was, like, flowing freely. It wasn't, like, any awkward type of thing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of liked that they played that part to it. It was interesting, the relationship between Lance and his son's best friend.
Only friend.
And I don't know how they were friends, why they were friends,
both
because the son treated him like, crap. But overall, I thought this movie was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the comedic bits of it, though they were very dark. And I liked the serious bits of it. I liked most of this movie. I think it's a really decent movie. And I would recommend it to pretty much everyone except Damien, because I'm pretty sure he doesn't like it.
No.
What'd you say?
Did you like the movie, first of all?
I liked it.
Then I think you should talk first.
I like this movie a lot. Robin Williams was wonderful in it. As Doug just mentioned.
So was his penis, by the way. Just
yeah, not
that,
a fun.
That was barely shown. It's not even worth talking about.
I'm just joking. It probably wasn't even his.
I'm pretty sure.
Let's not even think about that.
And I don't. Thank you. Thanks for that. Thanks.
I'm editing that out. My one thing with the film, and I want to hear from you guys as to what you wanted. When this film ended, did you want him to break down and admit, or did you want him to not to keep the thing going? Because you could see throughout the film that even as much as a lie as what he was doing, as much as morally wrong you could say what he did, it was helping some people as somewhat
posers.
Yeah, most of them were all of them were posers, but at the same time, it helped a lot of them get through some problems that they were having. So, Damien, would you have rather that he break down or not break down?
I was happy with the ending. That's probably the only part of the movie that I am in agreement with everybody on. I enjoyed the ending. Except for 2 minutes.
that will be out of the Damien's cut.
No, there will be no Damien. I'm not watching this again.
I'm not certain what I would want, whether I wanted to break down or not to break down, because... Even though it really is a horrible thing to do, at the same time I understand why he did it.
Right.
And so, like, it's one of those weird situations where, you know, whatever you do, there's no real right or wrong because you've already gone wrong.
Mm.
But as you said, when you
I'm trying not to say what actually happens.
Exactly. And as you say, if you break down and say, yeah, man, this I've messed up and, you know, I was the one that wrote all those things, then you're going to break the hearts of a lot of people. And not really break that. I don't even see it as breaking their hearts, seeing as they're a bunch of douchebags anyway. But... I'm not certain. Actually, I think I would prefer him to break down and actually... admit it, but at the same time I'd like him to not just break down and like die and become this sad little man, but break down and then somehow bounce back and become a writer that is actually known for his writing. But that's probably
did you want the movie to end? Because under your version, Lord of the Rings.
No, months after. I'm not saying that I want to see that.
Part one is this.
I'm not saying that I want to watch all of that happen. I'm saying that that is what I want to have in my mind as the ending point of this character's progression. Okay.
Why did you let it? As I said, I loved Robin Williams. One thing that I found hilarious were the students after he died and the book was released, and we got all these posers, right? The students, as much as I hated them, were hilarious. That goth girl just drove me up a wall all the while, and I couldn't stop laughing. And she would come by and be like, "Can I have something of his?" "Thank you. I'll treasure it forever." Like, I couldn't stop laughing. I'm sorry. That was hilarious. And also the students previous, when they were in the class, and you saw some of it in the trailer, the poems.
Yeah, that was my other high point. I love those poems. Stay black, y'all. I love the one that he was reciting from the song.
And as much as I hated the child himself, what was his name? His name was Kyle. As much as I hated Kyle, he was hilarious. There were... You can say how disgusting he is, but as he moves through and see all the people laugh at him, poke at him, tell him what an asshole he is, that in itself is pretty funny for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I loved about this movie, and totally the story works.
The reason I do not like this film is because Robin Williams plays a person, a real person, and everyone else around him, with the even the son's best friend, they're all archetypes. None of these people exist as real people. They're all stereotypical. All of them are, you've seen this type of person all the time, and they stick to that. All the other children in the school, there's a bully, there's a goth girl, there's all these other people. The token black teacher, there's just no other real person in this movie except Robin Williams and even his next door neighbor, which was the only somewhat believable relationship. She just happened to have to be this eccentric old woman that kept all this. Like, there's just no normal people except him. And then they told this story about the worst person of all time dying, right? And him writing the note. And the second they did that, my brain said, all of this is going to happen as a result of this. And one by one, it all happened. Because he had to make it, because of who the other characters were, it was the only way that this was going to play out. And my fear was that at the end of the movie, he was just going to continue walking down the road. But I knew there's, in order for the movie to end when it ended, he had to do what he did at the end. So 30 minutes into this movie, I had already known all that was going to happen in this movie. And it's not because of the way he was telling the story. It was just the characters that he had placed in the movie and surrounded Robin Williams with. It's the only way for it to play out. There's none of these characters are dynamic. They're just all this, the goth girl, the second that he died, she was like, I always loved him and this and that. And the football player, he's like, my father keeps pushing me and he keeps calling me a little girl. I'm like, why are all of these people fake? I just don't understand why. He could have populated the world with normal people and the story would still have worked, but he chose instead to make everyone so exaggerated that, I think he did it to make us feel more sorry for Robin Williams' character, but he didn't need to do that. We're already sorry for him because his son was the devil. And I'm glad how he ended the movie, and the poetry sections, they're funny, but on the whole, this movie is so meh. I just don't understand.
When he caught the student quoting Queen, I couldn't stop laughing.
Right, no, it's not that.
Come on, movie, I'm a white man.
No, this movie isn't. It's not that. It's a bad movie that no one should watch. And I said last week that there, I feel that this movie is going to be one of those cult movies where there'll be people who follow this movie and praise it as one of the best movies of all time. And there's things in this movie that will work for them that won't work for me. And that is what didn't work for me. I kind of understand why people would like the movie. But I do not.
One thing I want to mention. One thing that I particularly like in movies, and I've seen it in The Godfather 3, and it was in this film as well, which I love, is...
You love The Godfather 3?
No, I don't love the...
It says he's seen it in The
Godfather. This thing, which I'm about to mention.
I know, I'm just twisting your words.
Yes,
don't
because
worry.
You're an asshole.
Yes, I know.
The...
Truce.
There's... Godfather when... 3. When the son actually dies and he finds him dead, the music is played up, the sound is taken out, and you just see him crying and the emotion on his face. And the same thing is played in Godfather 3 at the end. And I love that. I love it when people do that. That's just an amazing look for that kind of a moment.
Why is it that he didn't make all the other characters real people? And that is my... I just don't understand his...
Because
he's the writer and the director.
Goldthwait, and he talks like this!
I listened to Creative Screenwriting. Uh-huh. They had a podcast of the movie and whatever. But he never spoke to why he made all the extra characters fake people. None of them... tell the truth, Douglas. Do any of them feel...
Well, you have to,
like real people...
No,
they did in Sopranos
kind of
where everybody
do.
Else...
You have to remember that these are 15-year-olds, and 15-year-olds actually are pretty ridiculous.
No, but not only the 15-year-olds. The people that he chooses, the 15-year-olds that he chooses to highlight are goth chick, bully who plays football, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not only them.
Mm-hmm.
The girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
The black teacher, right? Principal, his next door neighbor, all of these, none of these people to me felt like, all of them just felt like they were there to make sure that you remember that this man has a sad life and this is his situation and this is why he chose characters that would highlight what was wrong with whatever the situation was, and I didn't think he needed to do it. I didn't find any of these characters believable. And because of the characters that he chose, pretty much knew how this movie was going to end really, really early. And I didn't like that. He played it straight. Like, he got that script and I was like, this is where we're going. And that was it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand your problem. The characters are definitely exaggerated, to say the least. It's like they picked... the one characteristic of certain high school students and then just blew it out of proportion, especially when you look at the goth girl
and the football guy. His father keeps shouting at him and this and that because he has to get a scholarship and he just happened to be gay. All of this, man, like, why is all of this necessary? But you guys love it. I'm glad that someone loves it.
A lot of people love it, apparently.
Pretty much.
Yeah, only you hate it, actually.
I'd recommend it to anyone who...
Next
six
months. Wait, what did you say?
I'd recommend it to everyone.
You'd recommend it to anybody who likes this movie?
Who likes movies.
As I said last week when I was talking about Requiem, maybe I'm just becoming a
big asshole.
A badder, worse person. I don't know.
Probably.
Anyways, I guess we can wrap it up there.
The wrap it up box.
This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
Oh, am I supposed to speak?
No.
No, you can stay quiet.
And we can find the podcast.
You can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com. You can subscribe to us via iTunes, the Podcast Alley, or our RSS feed. You can find all of my writings on gmanreviews.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/gmanreviews. And we broadcast episodes live every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. No, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Daylight Time, damn it. Get it right.
Nobody cares.
Anything you want to say, Douglas, or should I just stop the recording?
Not much. I mean, I guess you guys can follow me on
awesome.
Twitter at DJR lost his name. And yes, Chuck is awesome.
Two seasons in.
As usual, thanks for listening and tune in next week. Thanks.